see everyone here in this beautiful day. Nice and cold out. Or it's getting colder. That's good. Emily has an announcement because I forgot it last week, and so go ahead and go for it.
So we are still doing Operation Christmas Child. Our goal is to do 25 boxes to match the Alaska Heritage Girls. We have already gotten some donations. There's a donation box. It'll say donations here. And that's where you can put your items in. The item list into what to load the box up with is on the back on the information booth. And it's just a pared down list. In years past, I had a 3-page long, here's what you could put in there. And I got it down to 1 page. I was very proud of myself. So that will be for Operation Christmas Child. And then in November, either the second or third Saturday, I forgot the date. But we will have a pack day where we will all come together and pack the shoe boxes together and then send them out. So I'm really excited about that from noon to 2. I'm just not
pushing. Is American Heritage Girls being here that day too, or are they doing different?
I believe so. I think they're all on the same day. So we'll pack, up to 50 boxes, and if we do more, then that'll be great too. So, yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. I don't think there's anything else. Am I forgetting any other announcements? Pastor Mike, am I forgetting anything that you know? All right. Cool. Awesome. All right, let's open with a word of prayer. Father God, thank you for this morning. We thank you again just for the beauty of the day. Father, we thank you for the beautiful northern lights that were out the other night and early morning. And just the residual of them that I saw when I was coming to men's breakfast yesterday was just beautiful. And I know there was more spectacular for those that are up earlier. And Father, it's just amazing. Growing up here all my life and the northern lights never get less amazing and spectacular every time I see them. And just the wonder and the beauty, and just because. There's just because that we see all the color and the beauty and the uniqueness of our world. If we can look at that and not see an amazing God who loves us, and we're very blind. And Father, I thank you that we can see that and we can use that to point others to you, and that we can have our own moments with you just out in your creation and see just the beauty and the wonder and just how much you love us and want to have a relationship with us. So, Father to God, today as we worship, Father, I pray it's out of a place of relationship with you, a place of love and a place of being loved and understanding that. And as we look into your word, Father, that we would just, man, that we'd want to hear your voice even clearer than we do now and have a better understanding at the level that we are known by you. So we just thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man may say. I see his hand of mercy. Salvation to impart. You are.
will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered, and the curse to set me free. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and let me be.
Child of God, we should still look the same as we were when we were a baby Christian. Our life should look different today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right.
We have come to this place. Thank you.
Father, Lord, we just thank you for that truth. Lord, we thank you that we are not shaped by this world. We are not shaped by the trends or the culture, but we are shaped by your word and the truth that you speak over us every day. Sometimes we lose sight of what you speak over us, Lord, because of our circumstances. We think we messed up, so that must mean that we can never come back from it, Lord. But you say otherwise. We are not victims of our mistakes. We are not victims of the things that have happened to us in the past. And we will not be victims of the things to come. Your children. You call us co-heirs. We are more than conquerors. And nothing on this earth will separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing will separate us from you and you alone. Maybe we'd be comforted by this truth, knowing that you are.
I love the line of that song we just sang. I'm shaped by every word he says. So I'm going to give a couple minutes. How have you been shaped by Father's word over and in your life this week? Anybody have a moment where like, man, this week I had this moment where I felt maybe not what I put in that words in that moment or not put in that way that in that moment, but I was shaped by the words of my Father this week. Anybody have that kind of experience this week? Oh boy. Yes. Hang on. We have the mic, yeah, because so people online, I don't get, you know, hate mail.
We've been reading in Jeremiah, and God was so fed up with this people that he had redeemed and brought out of Egypt through the desert into the promised land. And the reminder for me was the fact that God must get tired of me sometimes too in my rebellion and ignorance and, you know, just sin. And I got to repent and come back. So God's word was heavy on us, but then again, you know, Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, knew that God still loved his people. Hmm. So he loves us. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Anybody else? All right. Oh, our world traveler's back. Good to see you.
I was watching a preacher early this morning because I'm still on Europe time. And I was reminded that yes, like Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, that we continually sin. But I was so thankful that he still pursues us. And even when we make mistakes, he doesn't give up on me. He still follows me, pursues me, whispers in my ear, and that is such a gift.
Amen. Amen. Very cool. Anybody else? All right.
I'm just amazed and thrilled with how God has shaped me through all the years. And I know a lot of you guys know our testimony, but God has delivered me from drugs, and the joy that I have now just from Jesus is higher than me. And it's like he said, Jesus never lies. And I just think of that where he says, out of our belly will flow rivers of living water. And
front, Nick. You can get your exercise today. Where's your little runners? Oh, they went to Children's Church. I'm observant.
I have been kind of on a journey myself since the summer, just really surrendering everything, every part of my life to God, and just seeing how He works through that. It's just, I feel like it's a caveat, like you surrender, you know, like, you know, in an earthly way, when we surrender, that's weakness, right? You couldn't pursue the battle, you couldn't win, right? But when we surrender to God, He does so much through us that is just amazing, and we become bigger than we are, you know? And I've been learning about the unconditional love of God and how to love people that way, and realizing how much I don't and get frustrated with people for not being able to do things that I'm able to do, and realizing, oh, it's my strength, and not using my strength against other people, and just really learning about that, and learning about just when people make mistakes, how many times have I made mistakes, and God yet pursues me, and so I can do that to other people as well. So.
Yeah. One more? Or no more, that's fine. It's just give you an opportunity. All right? Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it. Thank you for sharing, guys. It's awesome. What does your name mean to you? Does your name mean anything to you? Your parents chose that name for you. Do you like the name that your parents gave you? Not everybody does, right? In our culture, in a lot of cultures, names have a pretty powerful thing. In some other cultures, they don't pick a book of, you know, the hottest 10,000 top names of in that particular year, right, for going through every variation of every name ever thought of, or some words you're like, wow, I would never call my kid that, right? But in other cultures, their names mean something. Their names define who they are. Their names say who they're going to be, and they have this expectation of living up to their name, especially if it's a family name. Some people have generations of family names, and there's multiple, I don't know, variations after the third and the fourth. And, you know, that's kind of cool, but I don't know if I'd do that to my boys. I didn't do that to my boys. I wouldn't call them after my name. It's like, ah, man. One, it's a mess up when you do mail and all kinds of problems. I've heard all those kinds of horror stories, right? You're getting your dad's stuff. They're getting the dad's getting the ticket that the kid got, and he's going to like, that's not my ticket. That's my kid's ticket, right? Our names mean something to us, and that's why our parents named us. But do you know that God knows your name? If you're His, He knows your name. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning in this continuation of Psalm 23. We're going to read through Psalm 23 again, then we're going to jump over to John chapter 10. Psalm 23, starting in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So again, this morning, we're still on that the phrase, the Lord is my shepherd. And this week, I've asked you guys to testify, and I always get the opportunity to testify to what Father has done in my life over the last week, and this week's no different. And I think every single week, you know, as well as you said, every single week, our life should look different than the week before. All right, and maybe not so much on the outside, but like, and it should be on the outside too, but every single day, every single moment, we should be in this movement of getting closer and closer to our God. And this whole idea of in John chapter 10, I just love this, and this week has been just beautiful as I've been sitting in places, and whether it's a coffee shop or here in my office or the my Pastor Mike got me addicted to this thing called fishing, and so I've been sitting on the banks of a lake. I was leaving the lake yesterday evening, and a guy, obviously a neighbor, he goes, "Either you're really hungry or you really like to fish, because I saw you out here in the rain yesterday and it was just pouring." I'm like, "Yeah, I like to fish. I don't know if I need to thank Mike or not." But anyway, it's really good because you sit out there in a chair and you see the beauty even when it's raining or it's blowing sideways like last week. And you just see I can sit in that place and commune with my God. I can sit in that place and I know it sounds like an excuse to go fishing. I get it. I get the addiction now, Brant. I get it. All right? And all those others have those kind of things. I get it. It's not a replacement for church. It's not a replacement for these kinds of things, right? Because we need to come together. But I get there's something about, because I knew where I was going to go this week, and I sit out there, and I'm sitting in this stillness. There's no one around. The beauty of Hatcher's Mountains, the snow that's on them, the lake that's the ice that's forming on the lake now, and it's just calm until I catch fish, and I'm all excited, right? But in those moments, and even in that is beauty, I can hear this connection with my Father talking to me, going, "Man, I love you. I'm going to give you a trout to eat because I know you love trout." Right? Sounds like a silly thing, but He cares. Maybe you don't like to fish. Maybe something else. But He knows what speaks to your heart. And He will bring Scripture to mind. Even if you don't have your Bible right in front of you, you're not like, "Man, I'm in this really deep study." I've been in deeper studies with my God sitting in places outside my office, and I have deep studies with God there too. But sometimes my office is a distraction because I have all these other things that are going on in my mind that I need to get done. So a lot of times I have to leave here to be able to concentrate. And so we come to John chapter 10. Again, this idea, because last week, back up just a bit. So last week we talked about how the shepherd leads to safety. He leads gently. And He searches for us with everything that He has. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of who Father is and what He does for us. And then we come to John chapter 10. Again, I'm just going to hit the highlights of this chapter this week or this morning, because we could do a big in-depth study of that, and we may go back to that at some point. But this morning, we're just going to read through some of it and share what Father is wanting to hear us to hear this morning. So John chapter 10, starting in verse 1. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." I love that Jesus is the only shepherd. And I love how anybody tries to enter into the sheepfold by any of the ways, a thief and a robber, pretty strong words. But I love that there's a gatekeeper that opens up only to the shepherd. And they hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. And I still don't know as if the name that Father knows us by is the name that we know each other by. I kind of have a feeling he calls us by something else. I don't have any proof of that. It's just my own thoughts, right? It's not biblical. It's a Mark thought. But I just know my Father is very creative. I think when I get home, I'll know my real name that He has called me by forever, right? Because think of husbands and wives. You don't usually call each other by your given name, do you? Unless you're like me and you get in trouble. And then you're called by your first and your middle name. Anybody else have that problem where you get called by your first and middle name and then it's like, "I'm in really trouble. What do I do?" Because sometimes I don't know what I did, right? Right? If I get called by my first and middle name, I'm in deep trouble, and that hasn't happened a lot in my mind, right? But we get called by name. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And I love verse 4, when he has brought them all all his own, he goes out all his own, he goes before them, and his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And again, I don't know, it's fascinating when you're going through this study and the things that Father has allowed me to see watching these little shows that I watch every once in a while. I've been going through this series of what it's an eating show. It's called, it doesn't matter what it's called. But this guy travels all over the world, and one of the things, he was in a place where all these sheep are, and it's all about the food, but how he's, with this family that raised sheep. And the difference between the people that own them and this guy they're trying to have help them, and the sheep are just not listening to this guy at all. They're not doing too good a job listening to their owners either, but it was really interesting. They were shearing the sheep. The owner, the shepherd, the sheep was totally calm and relaxed in his arms as he was shearing that sheep. Because they trust their shepherd. But what I thought was funny is that he brings them all out and then he leads them, he goes before them. It's like, man, if you let out sheep and you're not controlling them some way, they're going to scatter all over the place. And I love that if you watch these things with these shepherds in our world, they not only do they have that, but they have these dogs that are really well trained to go and herd these sheep and get them to where they want to go. But I love how Jesus leads us out and we follow him because we know his voice. And this knowing his voice, and I keep using these all illustrations. You think all I do is watch TV. I don't, but every once in a while I see these little clips. I don't know if you ever got caught into watching these homecoming videos, like military homecoming, where men and women come home from being overseas for months and years or whatever it is, and they come home and they surprise their family. There's one that I've watched a couple different times, and it's a little boy. He's in it's a boxing, martial arts kind of a training deal. And so he's blindfolded, and he's sparring with his teacher. And his dad comes in. So the kid's still blindfolded, and the dad puts on gloves and is kind of sparring with him. And he's sparring with him, and finally the dad says, "Is that all you got? Just a quiet voice." And that kid rips off his blindfold because he knew his dad's voice. And I love that illustration because that's how we should be with our Father, amen? We should be in this place that we know his voice and we don't walk around necessarily physically blindfolded, but how often do we walk around spiritually blindfolded? How often do we walk around like these verses that we're going to look at here coming up, verse 5, a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the stranger. Man, I read this verse, I'm like, is that always true for us? So, I know there have been times that I have followed the voice of a stranger that has led me away from the voice of my Father because my focus hasn't been in his word. My focus hasn't been on what he has spoken over me every single day. I start listening to the things of the world. I start listening to the social whatever. I start listening to the prevailing thought of the day, even inside the church. And if I don't continually come back to the Word of God, if I don't continue to come back to what I know my Father's voice sounds like, I'm being led astray by a stranger. And I guarantee you the stranger does not have my best interest at heart. He doesn't. Verse 7, so Jesus again, verse 6, this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture." Verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it just a little bit. Is that what it says? What does it say? And have life what? Abundantly. What does abundant life look like? It looks like listening to the voice of my Father every single day.
because the voice of my Father is always going to lead me in a place of growth. He's always going to lead me in a place where it's amazing. He's always going to lead me in a place where I can go in and out and find pasture. I can go in and out of my life and find the nourishment that I need if I'm in this place. And when I'm not in this place, and I have been in those seasons where I have neglected reading and I have neglected being in this intense relationship with my Father, and I have been shriveled up and dusty and dry, and that's where I start listening to the thief and the robber that only wants to come, kill, steal, and destroy my life. Because he is the door. And I love how he keeps saying, twice now, he said, they didn't listen to the voice, those other voices. I'm like, man, that defines those people, that defines that relationship that we need to be in with our Father. To have this life and have it abundantly, we went to a Young Life dessert fundraiser last night. We support, Young Life is one of our missions that we support here as a church. But just the speaker that got up and said, there's 15,000 youth in our valley. 15,000. And he said the majority of those youth are, we have the highest per capita in the nation of suicide, of not feeling worth, no value, no love. Before the age of 18, we're talking little kids, we're not talking older teenagers. And all they need is someone to love them, to see them, to know their name. They need to hear that they have a Father, that they have a Savior, that they have a Shepherd who wants, who knows their name already. They just don't know him. I guarantee you God knows every person's name that has ever lived and ever will live. I guarantee you that. Now, they don't know his name. They don't have a relationship with him, some of them. But I guarantee you he knows his creation because he created everybody. I guarantee you he loves those youth that are out on the streets right now or in homes that have, they have parents or no parents or whatever, that don't love them, that don't see them, that don't value who they are. That see the mistakes that we've talked about in testimonies this morning, that only see their mistakes and that's how they're defined. They're not known by name. They're not known by how much they are loved. But we can't love at that level if we don't understand that's how we are loved. We can't lead someone else in this understanding if we don't hear the voice of our Shepherd every single day speaking to us. And when we make those mistakes, we can hear the Father going, you messed up, but I still love you, and here's how to come back to this place of intense relationship with me where there's nothing hindering yours and my conversation. Verse 11, this is very much an understatement in my mind. I am the good shepherd. Good's not a big enough word. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And Jesus has done that and continues to do that over and over as he sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. And it's fascinating to me in the progression of this passage of Scripture how we have this amazing truth and then we have this next statement. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. It's interesting how you have, man, I'm the good shepherd, but here's this hired hand that doesn't care. There's a lot of shepherds that do not care for the flock in which they are called to serve. Don't get me wrong. Pastors in every church and every that's all going on this morning, we're not going to do it perfectly. It's not about that. But if myself and Pastor Mike and the elders and other leaders in the church, if we don't care at the level about you more than anything else, we don't care. We're failing in our calling. If we don't love you at that level, if we're not giving the opportunity to, you got to feed yourself, absolutely. But if we're not giving you opportunities, if we're not challenging you, if we're not getting this place of providing discipleship and man, and coming alongside, man, are you growing? How can we together, what's distracting you from hearing the voice of your good shepherd today? Like I said last week, if you don't have those people in your life that you've allowed into your life that can be absolutely as blunt and in all the love possible, like check you as hard as they need to get your attention, if you don't have that, man, I beg you, get that. You cannot do this life alone. You can't, because we get in these spirals and we get in these holes and we can't get out of them by ourselves. And I know I've used this illustration before, but I know in the early days of my marriage, when Devonna would get kind of in this dark place, I'd jump down a hole with her. Now we're both stuck. No value in that. And she finally said, stop getting in the hole with me. Throw me a rope. Put a ladder down a hole. Something, anything. Stop getting down the mire with me. That's such a, well, it's such a dull thing, right? But it feels very compassionate. Oh, man, I'm really in there with you, and I'm really like, you know, empathizing with you, and I'm really sympathizing. Now, don't give me sympathy. Bring me back to the truth. I don't have to like it, because if I'm starting, like, we get in that place, and it's obviously about that relationship, right? If we have those kinds of relationships, I can come and like, hey, brother, sister, so-and-so, this is what God says about where you are right now. In relationship to what we're talking about this morning, how well are you hearing his voice? What's distracting you from hearing the truth? Because the truth is of his word. Doesn't it set us free? I think it says something like that in the Bible, right? If I'm not having abundant life, there's something I'm messing up. There's something I'm not understanding. Maybe I'm not messing things up. Maybe I'm just having I'm just not thinking right. I've got something distracting me, because you know what? The enemy doesn't want us to have this abundant life. He wants you to believe that you're a victim and an orphan. But we are blood-bought sons and daughters of Jesus, of God, right? We have this good shepherd, and I'm running out of time, but I want this one thing, verse 14, man. And here, if you hear nothing else this morning, hear these next few words. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. And here it is. Know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Did you catch that? How well are you known? How much of a relationship does God want to have with you? As close as Jesus and God the Father are, that's how well you are known. And I'm telling you right now, I can't even comprehend that. I understand the words, what it's saying, but I cannot comprehend known at that level. The person I know the most on this planet is my wife, and I don't even begin to know her at this level. You are known at that level, the way that Jesus and God the Father know each other. What does that even mean? I don't know. Couldn't tell you. I know it's intense. I know it's close. I know it's beyond my ability to articulate. But one thing I do know, I trust it. I believe it. I believe if that's what Jesus said and I'm known at that level, then that's the level I'm known at. It's comforting and terrifying all at the same time, because he knows all the bad stuff I do too. The things that you don't know, he knows. All the words that I've said that I shouldn't have never said, he knows. All of it. And the beauty of it in those moments, he loves me anyway. He wants to have a relationship with me anyway. He is still my Father anyway. He's still a good shepherd anyway. He still wants to give me this abundant life, Will, anyway. Amen? That's what we have to give away. That's what we need to understand on a level we've never understood before. I know these things, but again, like a reminder like last night of these people that are so desperate for just scraps of what you and I experience every single day. You may be sitting here this morning and go, man, I don't have a whole lot. If you have Jesus, you have everything. I don't have a lot of money in the bank account. So what? You have the mind of Christ. You have hope. You have joy. You have peace. You have. We can go on and on and on about all the things that we have. We are fat, gluttonous Christians, and I'm not saying that in a negative way. I'm just saying we have a lot to give away. But if we don't understand that's not part of who we are, that's everything, and it's just outflow of everything that's coming out of us, that we are loved at this level. I've said many, many times, and I'll continue to say, I don't know how people operate without Jesus. I don't know how they put one foot in the front of the other throughout their day. Even if they have the most perfect, have all the money they could possibly want, they have, you know, everything they want, they still have nothing compared to the poorest, destitute child of God. Because the most destitute, poor child of God has everything. They have everything. They walk in this place of peace and love and identity, and they have a shepherd who knows their name. Father God, this morning, we haven't even scratched the surface of being known by you. But Father, today I pray that we walk away this morning just with this simplisticness of that you know my name, that you know our name in a way that we can't even articulate and we can't even understand. But Father, we trust what your word says. We trust that you are a good shepherd. And when we're in that place of listening to your voice so intently, that's our every focus is that place of abiding in that place with you where we hear your voice and you speak so directly to us. And we live this life that's been talked about even this morning in testimonies as we grow and we get to these places of where you're changing things and you're fine-tuning and you're creating, you're giving these opportunities to become more and more like Jesus. Father, today, this week, I would pray that each one in this room and those that are watching online would hear your voice so clearly. That if they don't understand how well they're loved and known, Father, I pray that they would have that experience this week. But above all things, this morning, Father, I pray for those who do not know who you are, that are not part of your sheep, they're not your sheep yet. Oh, they're loved by you, but they don't know that they haven't received that love into their own heart and life. It hasn't changed them radically. It hasn't begun to drive out the old and replace it with the new. They don't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that teaches us, and reminds us, and guides us. Father, I pray if there's anyone in this room or anyone online that doesn't know who you are, Father, I pray today is a day that they would give their life to you. It's a simple moment for a life change. And then it's an abundant life from that moment on. Father, I thank you for today. Thank you for what you're wanting to do in and through our lives. So we can be part of your impacting this world in which we are called to live, our community, the men, the boys, the girls, the teenagers out there who are desperate to hear what we talked about this morning, what we talked about every time we're here. Just as much as I can't understand what it's like to live a life without you in it, they can't understand a life that can be full and amazing. That's like a dream beyond a dream for so many people. Give us the opportunities to speak and minister and love on in all these people around us. Thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Stay in worship.
Oh,
us and who knows us. So walk in.